and welcome to this week's Shoot the Moon podcast, broadcasting live and direct from Revenant Rocket World Headquarters in Bloomington, Minnesota. As you know, Revenant Rocket is the world's premier growth strategy and M&A advisor for tech-enabled services companies, and I'm honored to be here with my partners, Matt Lockhart and Ryan Barnett, today. Welcome, guys.
Good to be here, Mike. Good to be here. Now, you know, the band's been back together a few times, so let's keep it going. What's going on, Ryan?
Yeah, I agree. It's great having us all here. And, you know, as we talk about every day, it's every time we have a podcast, it's something that we see within our client base. And today we're talking about somewhat of a tough topic because it's something that we don't want to happen. But it can happen, and we've seen it from other brokers, and we hear from other companies that they've tried a successful sale or tried to market their company. Oftentimes it's by themselves, or it's they've tried a process in the past and it didn't quite come to fruition. And it's a hard topic. So what we want to walk into, you know, why is it hard to sell a company, and what are some things that we should take a look at. We'd love to talk through some of those common mistakes to avoid. And then we'd love to give you a few tips on what you can do in that business, in your IT services business, to have a successful outcome when it comes to this. So, Mike, I'd love for you to just get us kicked off on, you know, why is it difficult, and get us going.
Thanks, Ryan. The whole topic of M&A in general, you know, it's oftentimes called the most unnatural act in business for a reason. These are difficult transactions to get done, but when you make a decision to bring your company to market, much like if you decide to sell a used car or a piece of real estate or whatever, you need to prepare that asset for sale to optimize it and to encourage or to enhance the likelihood you will get it done. And I think part of that comes from, you know, operating the business in a efficient manner, sort of, and having some up and to the right trajectory of the business, meaning you're growing top line and requisitely growing bottom line in the top quartile of profit compared to your peers, to be, you know, quite attractive to buyers. I certainly think there are many other things that need to be done, but, you know, those are some basics, you know, polish the fenders and, you know, in the case of real estate, you know, make sure that, everything looks good and your house has been staged properly before you take it to market. I think the same generally applies to the business. And, you know, many of our clients that we've worked with begin that preparation years in advance. They may work their way out of a job as an owner or a leader and put additional leadership in place if they're choosing to sell out and to retire, for example, or move on. Or if they're deciding to sell in, they may decide to, you know, focus on a very discrete role in the business so that they can continue to do that once the transaction has occurred. So at the very base foundation, you know, you need to prep the business so it's attractive to a buyer. I think there's many things that make it unattractive to buyers, and we can certainly unpack those. But to start, you want to make sure that, you know, you've thought about it and you're in a good spot to make the business attractive.
Yeah, I think that's a good spot to start. You know, you have to have the business in the shape where people can work with it. And it has to be marketable, but also you've got to get yourself in the mindset of taking your firm and having it look attractive. And part of that starts to become your own thoughts about the business. Matt, what are some things that people should start thinking about even well before a sales process and getting their mindset right?
Well, we'll go back to those three, you know, three simple steps, right? You know that you're emotionally ready for the next chapter, right? And you've started to think about what that next chapter looks like, that selling in, selling out, right? And you've clarified that, right? Because when we're talking in the context of, hey, something went wrong, well, sometimes we see where people pull back. They get into the process. They start talking to people. It becomes real. And then all of a sudden, they're like, oh, wait a second, I'm not ready. You know, and so that's, you know, that is very critical. The understanding of your own expectations related to what is the value of your business, and or do you have a number in mind, right? That is absolutely critical in identifying that and being able to then work with an advisor, who allows you to say that your expectations are realistic, right? And that's achievable. And then I think that starting to think about, if you're selling out, have you prepared the business to, you know, to succeed without you, right? I mean, that's a first step. Is the business ready to go on without you as a leader, as a founder leader within the business? And so kind of what has been that succession plan? That's a key, you know, real key first step. And I know we'll talk about, you know, some of the other breakdowns as it relates to financials and, you know, position in the marketplace, growth and to the right. But, you know, that succession plan, that's a real key first one.
It's, you really get alignment on what you want to do. I think that's critical, that things like succession planning, you may want to start years ahead. So oftentimes in WeSeal, I guess I'll ask this a little bit differently, but Mike, what are common reasons that people do have for not successfully having getting a deal done?
Well, a big area is sort of a disconnect between expected price as a seller and your performance to warrant that price. And so, you know, we've seen lots of situations where, you know, maybe the only thing you know is you've operated the business at 3%, 4%, or 5% profit, or maybe had some unprofitable years in there, but you're generally a low single digit profit business. Yet you've heard of peers of yours that have sold their business for, you know, approaching 1x revenue or more. And, you know, at the end of the day, that is a direct function to how profitable those businesses were at the time of the transaction. So it's pretty important to get real feedback about your business performance and valuation from, you know, experts that do valuations. You know, not to toot our own horn, but we certainly do a lot of those and have very good perspective on what the market is and what your valuation would be in the market. Before you really make a full decision to say, hey, we're going to go to market, you need to be in alignment with the value of that. And if you're not, you're going to be disappointed because it is certainly something that, you know, is a thing that we see often, right? And sometimes, you know, there's unscrupulous brokers that will tell you what you want to hear to get the listing, to see if they can find a buyer. But, you know, there's a big disconnect between reality and value. I come back to the cars or the real estate scenario, right? If you have a very similar house to all your neighbors in your neighborhood and, you know, you want to price it at 40 or 50% premium, and it's not really warranted based on the condition or the amenities in the property, you're just not going to get that, right? It's going to be a situation where you will not have a buyer. So making sure that you have alignment around what the real value is certainly a great, great place to start. I think, you know, when we see that, we typically are able to, you know, find buyers through sort of an extensive outreach process to make things happen. I think, you know, a second area where people get sometimes, you know, sideways is they might just decide, hey, we're gonna sell, and I'm gonna wait for the phone to ring. Right? I'm gonna wait for someone to call me because I'm getting lots of phone calls from people that want to buy. So I don't need to run a process. I don't need to go to market with a broker partner. And The challenge with that is oftentimes those calls, you know, maybe from people who are either not qualified to buy, don't understand the market, or there isn't good synergies, and they're just trying to, you know, take a scorched earth policy to see if a small business owner might be willing to sell their business. They're not too fussy about, you know, is it a IT services business or a convenience store or a, you know, used car lot. They're just looking for someone that may want to sell their business at a discount. And so you may go down a process where, you know, there's buyers that either aren't qualified or don't align properly with you around strategic, you know, alignment and value and cultural fit. And at the end of the day, you know, you really need to make sure all of those things line up. So, you know, those are a couple of the sort of major reasons we see kind of deals not get done. Either you're not professionally marketed or you have a pretty big disconnect between fair value of your business and what it really is.
Yeah, those are all great. I think there could be so many things that could go wrong, and there's a lot of common mistakes that are there. Matt, I'd love to hear your perspective. Let's say we do find a suitor that fits strategically and culturally, and perhaps even financially. What are some things that perhaps later in the process that could cause a deal to fall through? Maybe this is be post LOI, perhaps in due diligence, all the way to close. Things like working capital or a clean balance sheet or some of that pushing and shoving around the deal. So past LOI, what are some things that can help get that deal done, or what are some mistakes to avoid?
Well, I think we do counsel this all the time. I'm not sure we'd raise it up. The most important thing that you need to do as a seller is to continue to operate your business very well throughout the process, right? Mm-hmm. If there is a significant and or material change in expectations, downturn, right, against forecast, against, you know, current year forecast and or the trend that enables expected forecast, right? I think that's a real important one. The other thing is, you know, you gotta have a level of flexibility. Now that doesn't mean that you're, you know, like Gumby. But, you know, oftentimes, new information and or, you know, a situation with regards to financing could change some terms. Not materially, but some terms and or expectation, term structure, and the like. And it really doesn't materially change the enterprise value, but there is some movement. And if sellers are completely inflexible with regards to finding common ground in a good middle ground and ongoing negotiations, then, you know, it's just not going to work. Not spending enough time in continuing to build that trust, between leaders of organizations. You can see some disconnect, right? That can cause things to turn south. And then again, you know, I think this oftentimes goes back to, you know, Mike's point of not having the appropriate representation. But, you know, for example, you bring up working capital. Right. And, you know, we've just got a real strong track record of being able to have a non-emotional, logical path to determining appropriate working capital. And, you know, if you don't have that type of representation that enables that to be done in a fair and equitable way, you know, then there can be real pushing and shoving around that, you know. People can make land grabs, right, that are out of bounds and quote unquote not market, right, in terms of being able to manage things to an agreed upon close.
I think I would add, let me just make a comment. you know, to emphasize that point, you know, we often say there's about 150 material things to negotiate on a deal that you need some experience on your side. It's often, I would suspect, that most of our listeners use a professional to help them with their investment portfolio or their retirement plan or their, you know, whatever they're using to sort of invest their money. And those guys come to the dialogue with a material amount of experience about, you know, the optimal way to, you know, look for return and balance risk. You know, I would say the same thing occurs in an M&A advisor. There's certainly risk and if an M&A advisor is working on your behalf, they're going to help you balance risk with optimal return, and be able to suggest things that, you know, maybe a buyer or maybe you have not thought about. And as much as that seems in some ways counterintuitive to an entrepreneur's mindset about, you know, hey, we can figure out most things and get through these obstacles ourselves. Having an objective third party with experience always brings a great perspective and potentially a path to get things done that you couldn't find certainly on your own. So I think you want to lean on your advisor, whoever that is. And certainly if you're in this space and IT services, we'd like to think it's, we'd welcome the opportunity for that to be us. But, you know, you need to pick your advisor carefully, because they'll be able to help you level set and think about what's needed. And, you know, and even a credible advisor may tell you that now is not the time to go to market, because your likelihood of success based on your expectations or where the business is or where the market is not aligned. And I think, you know, that's a message you'll also need to hear if you're contemplating this move and if that should be the case.
Yeah, great point. I totally agree. Yeah, I'll open this up to maybe both of you. Matt, maybe kick us off here. But what do you do if you can't sell the business now? Let's say you go through a process and it's been some time. And this somewhat goes into how long, what should you do, how patient are you? But perhaps a deal didn't get done in your expected time frame. What should you do?
Well, I think it's always a good thing to have enough time, right? It's, you know, maybe you went through a process. You had somebody, you're under letter of intent and it didn't work out. I think that having enough time to step back and say, okay, what happened, right? What were the reasons? What did you learn through the process? Going back to, you know, that simple three step. Are you ready? Or maybe you say, hey, I need a little bit of a break, right? Because it's work. It can be emotional. You know, what is the outlook for the business in the next, you know, 6 to 12 to 18 months, right? Would there be some gains, you know, in terms of the continued development of the business in that time frame? But just being able to sort of take a step back, again, working with your advisor, analyzing the facts, right? And understanding that. So I don't think that we would advise, hey, rush back in, or correspondingly, you know, throw your hands up and say, well, I can never do this. And so I'm just going to go back and run my business for another 10 years. Right. So, having enough time to be able to sort of clear the emotion out of it and then make the appropriate strategic plan so that you can, again, you know, get the reward of your life's work.
Yeah. Is there a case here, Mike, and where, oftentimes deals and or IT services companies are run by partners. Are there opportunities to look at perhaps a partner buyout and then move into a different sales process or, looking at just taking some time off or cleaning up the books? Any other options that might be available than just the outright
Well, I think absolutely there is. I think what's important is that, you know, partnerships are hard. We've talked a lot about that. And oftentimes, and we see this as a pretty common occurrence, you might have a partner that may have a pretty wide age difference. And one partner, due to that, wants to sell and retire, and the other partner does not. They want to stay in the business. They want to continue to work in the business. No, I think a lot of it has to do with the appetite of the partner that may want to stay in versus the one that might want to retire, and, you know, the flexibility, frankly, of the one that might want to retire as it relates to financing a buyout. Oftentimes, that's the way it's done, and certainly in, like, medical practices and legal practices, that's a pretty common occurrence. And if you think about, you know, IT services businesses in many ways as professional services businesses, they're similarly aligned, particularly if it's a multi-partner owned sort of business. And so I think you have to be in alignment with your partnership about what, you know, needs to be done in the business. And certainly if there's people that want to be sticking around and growing the business for some time and there's a partner that wants to exit, there's all kinds of options to explore on how to do that, which include, you know, partial sale, sort of if the business is of a certain size, you know, private equity sort of recap to get that first partner out, just a purchase, a direct purchase by the remaining partners based upon agreed upon valuation. And that would include sort of a price and terms negotiation. As well as bringing in, you know, maybe another outside operating partner that wants to buy into a business. So there's certainly lots of options that are available, as it relates to, you know, a partner exiting and sort of a partnership. I think many of those things, again, can get complex quickly. And you need to be able to have some advice and counsel on, you know, what's the right way to do that and what's the right way to structure it, and ultimately how to best document it for everyone's benefit, so that, you know, it's a win-win deal. I think, you know, to bring, you know, not too fine a point on it, the best deals need to be win-win, whether it's an outside buyer, an internal buyer, or, you know, partial equity transfer, whatever. And as a practical matter, you know, our experience has been that almost everyone feels like they gave a little too much, right? And so, you know, oftentimes when the negotiation gets tenuous, people that feel like they're giving too much walk away from the table. And I think that's another area where a lot of deals fail, where they shouldn't. And I think being able to have an arbitrator, a strong arbitrator, advocating for your position, in a M&A representative is certainly, you know, in that situation worth its weight in gold. Because what might seem like a dire deal killer moment, in a transaction, to you as an individual, particularly if you're trying to negotiate your own deal where there's a high degree of emotion, there may be a path that you haven't thought about or haven't considered or may even become, one that is better for you as a seller, with the input and advice and counsel of others. So I think, you know, that amalgamation of advisors, you know, around legal and accounting and M&A can all provide valuable counsel as well.
Yeah, I think, again, great advice, Mike, great advice. If it's to wrap up a bit of what I heard here today, you know, M&A is really hard. And it's, as you mentioned, Mike, the most unnatural act in business. So, you know, expect some challenges and expect some loneliness in the process. It's hard to get through, and it is challenging. So I think mentally prepare yourself, hopefully for a successful outcome, but ultimately, it's something that it's hard to go through. As Matt mentioned, it's absolutely critical to have your readiness for sale. So that includes your personal motivation, your financial readiness, proving a nice history of success, and really looking for some of the succession of your team and getting the right things in place. Before you ever consider that sale at all, make sure that you're ready for it. There's a lot of common mistakes in a sale in an M&A process. So you might overvalue the business or ruling out a suitor or being unwilling to negotiate or not having your right succession plans in place or even waiting for suitors to knock on your door. So before you engage in the process, understand that there's a lot of things you can do right and guard yourself against some of those common mistakes. It's also critical that you meet your forecast and your profit expectations through a process. You really have to run the business like it's not for sale. That can be one of the hardest impacts on getting through a deal. And then last points, you know, there's definitely going to be changes between an LOI and a purchase agreement. And through that due diligence to close, there's going to be hundreds of back and forth. So be prepared to have some changes from the original documents into actually what you all come to as an agreed upon document. The last two things, if there are options if you don't sell the company in the first round. There may be another round. It may be a partner buyout. It may be some short-term financing another way. It may be just a time where you go back and reflect and look, can I raise revenue, profit, EBITDA, target markets to go to a point where we can better execute. And then lastly, and be patient. It's the more niche your business is, the harder it might be to find the right buyer. So we talk about finding strategic, cultural, and financial fit, but timing is a fourth leg you must consider throughout that process. So with that, Matt, I'll turn it over to you for anything else you'd like to add.
Well, that was an awesome summary, Ryan, for sure. We should get that wrapped up into a blog post, I think. No, I think great topic. A lot of people thought that this would be the changes in market that last year everyone was saying, wow, real seller's market, and people were saying, wow, geez, now's not the time just because of the market conditions. I'll tell you, we don't see it that way. The strategic value that our clients hold in the marketplace because of their specialization in what is a continued supply versus demand, imbalance in IT services, it's still a great time to sell. So hopefully this was helpful for people who are considering it and thinking about it. Plan. Well begun is half done. So we'd love to talk to you and great topic. Thanks for leading, Ryan.
You're welcome, Mike. I guess the last thing I'd ask, if you have any future topics, let us know. info@revenuerocket.com. We're happy to send you a water bottle from where we help give people 10 years of clean drinking water sponsored with Diadomi and Revenue Rocket. But would love to hear your questions. Mike, with that, we'll turn it over to you.
Thanks, Ryan. With that, we'll tie a ribbon on it for this week's podcast. We encourage you to tune in next week when we unpack additional topics of relevance for you as owners and investors in IT services companies. And we certainly look forward to hearing from you, as Ryan mentioned, info@revenuerocket.com. Feel free to keep those cards and letters coming, as they say. And we'd be happy to send you a water bottle as part of our give back campaign. Take care and make it a great day.